And South's going to call timeout here as they take the lead back 39-38. And we'll take a quick timeout, too. Oh, let's go for the station identification. Even better.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back to Waukesha West, where the Blacks just have a 39-38 lead after a beautiful pass from Charlie Moroz to Daniel Robinson underneath the basket for a layup. As Carter Combs brings it up for the Wolverines. Passes to Hill on the left wing. Hill dribbles back to Thompson, top of the key. Jake Thompson back to Hill. Hill looking, seeing the whole court here. Dribbles now to the center. Dishes to Carter Lavelle on the left wing. Lavelle back to Hill. Hill over to Thompson in the right wing. Oh, the big man's back in. Owusu Asidu. They're trying to get the big man the ball. Hill has in the corner, back out to Lavelle in the right wing, into the big man against Kringle. He kicks it out to Hill. Hill for three, and it's off. And the big man gets the rebound, pulls away from Kringle. Misses the layup, though. Great defense by Tyron Cook. Forces a bad shot. Moroz into the corner to Duncan. Duncan fakes. He's in a little trouble here. Kicks it back out to Moroz. Daniel Robinson now has it in the backcourt, left backcourt. Dribbling around. Robinson driving, kicks it out into the corner, and Trey misses everything. Combs has the rebound, dish it over to Hill. Hill for three all alone, and that's off. That's out of bounds. It hits the pole holding the basket together, automatically out of bounds. So a big break for the Blackshirts there.
Owusu Asidu is the name of that sophomore big man for the Wolverines. What a great weapon to have off the bench.
Substitute. Tadioka comes in for Karinko. They're hoping Tadioka may give a little more size here or against OA, we'll call it, Owusu Asidu. Aiden Owusu Asidu. I think he's the only Aiden out here tonight, so we can also call him Aiden. Owusu Asidu. Inbound against some pressure. Inbound into Robinson. Wolverines lay off a little bit. Robinson dribbles it up. Blackshirt's looking to add to a 39-38 lead with 12:05 remaining. Gives it to Duncan in the wing. To Tadioka, top of the key. To Moroz in the wing. Into Tyron Cook in the corner. Cook pulls up. Yes, Tyron Cook! What a beautiful Jay. 13 points for Cook as Thompson takes the pass from Combs. Back to Combs here in the backcourt. Combs sends Thompson through. Gives it over in the corner to Hill. Hill dribbling from the right to the center court. Thompson has it now in the left backcourt, looking around. He dribbles, gives it back to Hill. Gives it to Lavelle on the right wing. Oh, a long pass. Almost stolen away by Cook. And it's out of bounds to the Blackshirts. Almost off of Waukesha West. But Cook almost stole it and went all the way, but just couldn't get a finger on it. But it did cause the Wolverines to miss the pass. So inbounded by Combs. Into the corner to Thompson. Thompson kicks it out to Hill in the left backcourt. Hill sees the whole floor like a good leader. Gives it to Thompson in the right wing. Thompson was sinking the three. Lavelle has it. Oh! Moroz with a beautiful strip, but it goes out of bounds. A routine pass to Hill. Moroz overplays and knocks it away. So good defense. Hill will inbound for the Wolverines, trailing by three. Inbounds it to Lavelle, top of the key. Lavelle dribbling. Kicks it back to Hill on the right wing. Guarded by Moroz, and man. Moroz goes around the pick by Aiden. Kicks it over to Aiden. Aiden gives it to Combs in the corner. Combs all the way cross court.
to Lavelle. Lavelle, oh, he's fouled. Looks like it's Teddy Okum. I thought Teddy Okum might have had a piece of the ball, but. It's only his first on the big man for the black shirt, so. 10:46 remaining. As Carter Lavelle will shoot two, the coach's son. 7 points so far, Lavelle. First free throw is good. 41-39 in favor of the black shirts. 10:46 remaining, first half. Second free throw. Four team fouls for black shirts, two for the Wolverines. Second free throw for Thompson. And it's in and out. Rebounded by Cook. Cook in the left backcourt, guarded by Lavelle. Gives it over to Moroz. Moroz into the corner to Duncan. Duncan dribbles out more to the wing, and there's a foul, and they're calling it on. Let's see here. It looks like it's Carter Lavelle's going to get the call. Only two on Carter Lavelle. 13 foul for the Wolverine. So it was away from the ball, and Cook was trying to fight his way out. Inbound to Cook, top of the key. Cook guarded by the big man. Goes around the screen from Robinson. Cook kicks it back out to Robinson. Robinson guarded by Aiden, top of the court. Robinson's going to drive. Fakes on the big man. Oh, his shot is blocked. It's rebounded by Moroz. Kicks it out to Cook. Cook hanging out in the corner. Cook's going to drive. He pulls up. Oh, it's off, but rebounded. Oh, let's see. It gets sipped out to Cook. Cook, they miss a foul, and it's rebounded by Carter Lavelle. Wow. A couple of non-foul calls there by the officials. And Coach Richter is not happy. Into the corner to Hill. Hill misses it. And it goes all the way to the scorer's table here. So Hill doesn't miss much of those. I might have been tipped, but the black shirts get the ball back on a very important defensive stand there. Inbounded from Moroz to Robinson. Robinson dribbling it up for the shirts. Guarded by Combs. Onto the wing to Moroz. Guarded by Thompson. Moroz drives, pulls back. At the Duncan, top of the key. Duncan to Robinson in the right wing. A lot more movement now from the black shirt offense. Into Cook in the corner. Cook guarded by Hill. Cook pulls up. He's going to go all the way. And it's into the foul! Tyron Cook, 7 points so far in the second half. 50, and he gets fouled. Dominic Hill gets his third foul. More importantly, for the Wolverines, I don't see anybody coming in for Hill at this point. 9:30 is your time remaining. It's a 4-point black shirt lead, hopefully five, if Hill makes this free throw. Hill taking his time here. The lefty pulls up, and it's in. Tyron Cook, 16 points. Eight so far for the half. 9:28 remaining. Black shirts with a 5-point lead, their biggest lead of the half, as Carter Combs brings it up for the Wolverines. Black shirts showing his own here. Kicks it to Hill on the wing. Hill drives, kicks it back over to Combs. Combs. Oh, he decides to pull up from the free point, and he makes it. A 2-pointer for Combs. His first basket of the game, too. So it's a 3-point lead. As Daniel Robinson dribbles it up on the left wing, comes out of the center, goes around fast, gives it to Duncan. Duncan drives, nowhere to go. And a pass gets knocked away. Daniel Robinson chases it down, beats Combs to the ball, all the way in our own in the backcourt. He dribbles in. He pulls it, oh, he fakes it. Moroz for three in the corner. Oh, that's no good. Rebounded by Cook. Cook pulls up, moves in. Oh, and he can't get the ball, but he gets his own tip. No! Let's see who the fouls are. I think they're calling Cook on that. Tyron Cook gets the call on the rebound. It's only his first foul, but I don't know if I agree with the call here. As Carter Combs brings the ball for the Wolverines, trailing to the black shirts, 44-41. The pass to Thompson in the left wing. He thought about the three for a moment. Hill at the top of the key. Oh, pass tipped by Moroz and picked up by Combs. Combs cross court. He's got Hill all over three, in and out, rebounded, tipped away. Daniel Robinson gets it, and he knocks it off. Aiden, a beautiful play by Daniel Robinson. Aiden Owusu-Asidu Murrow's inbound for the Blackshirts, hanging on to a 44-41 lead, looking to add to it after a great defensive stand. Daniel Robinson bringing it up, taking his time. 8 minutes and counting in the second half. Robinson getting instructions from Coach Richter. Passes it to Cook in the right wing. Cook guarded by Lavelle. And Cook's going to drive. He's going to pull up. He's off to the left. And it goes out of bounds to the Wolverines. You know, I could see from the release of the shot that it was going to fade a little bit to the left there. And the Wolverine student body letting Cook know. So, but Holmes brings it up. It's going to be a man defense here. Holmes, yeah, his pass is stolen by Rose. There should have been a foul there. Knocked out of bounds. A lead pass, but there was a very elaborate grab by the defender on Moreau's there. Very obvious, and the ref is standing right there. I can't believe they didn't make that call. That could have been a flagrant foul. I'm surprised Coach Richter isn't more upset. Inbound to Cook. Heavy pressure from Lavelle. They had inbound it back onto our side as Cook dribbles it across. Getting louder in here. Cook now going to left. Guarded by Holmes. Into Morales in the corner. Back to Robinson. Left backcourt. It's like a matchup zone for the Wolverines here. As Brighton Staub comes back in for Duncan. Check has it. To Karinko comes in for Tadioka. To Cook in the corner. Cook guarded by Holmes. Cook pulls it up. A long shot. And it's off. And here comes Holmes. Nope. Holmes slows it down. Into Hill. Hill's going to drive, and he gets an easy layup. A great play by Dom Hill. It's a one-point Blackshirt lead now, 6:47 and counting. Robinson coming over to the side to talk to Coach Richter. Robinson drives. Kicks it out to Karinko. Karinko for a long three. Yes, Tommy Karinko, the senior. That's five for Karinko as the Blackshirts now lead 47-43. A very important three for the senior center. Thompson, top of the key, gives it over to Combs in the right wing. The big man Eden wants the ball, posted by Karinko. A long shot by Combs, in and out, rebounded, tipped to Karinko. Robinson has it now for the Blackshirts, 6 minutes and counting, 47-43. A very important defensive stand for the Blackshirts. Karinko in the corner. Dishes to Robinson, but his pass, or excuse me, Cook, and it's stolen away by Combs. Long pass there to Lavelle. Lavelle's going to drive. Nowhere to go. And there's an offensive foul that Charlie Moreau draws on Lavelle. And that's three on Lavelle. That's five team fouls for the Wolverines. Great job there by Moreau's drawing the charge. Robinson has it now in the left backcourt, guarded by Lavelle. 5:33 remaining. Kicks it to Staub. Long three. Staub in and out. Rebounded by Cook. Cook dunks it. The Blackshirts now go ahead by six. What a great rebound by Tyron Cook.
Five, 10.
17 points for Cook. A long three. That's off. But rebounded and out of bounds. Lavelle steps out on the rebound. So the Blackshirts get the ball again. Here comes Daniel Robinson hustling down the court. 5:06 is your count now and counting. Robinson, top of the key, kicks it over to Karinko. Back to Robinson on the right wing. Robinson goes. Oh, beautiful spin move. Kicks it over to Brighton Staub. Staub kicks it back out to Murrows. Back to Robinson. So Blackshirts taking their time here on offense, leading by six. 4:47 is your count. Ref instructing the Wolverine defender, Carter Lavelle. He's got to guard Robinson. Robinson kicks it out to Karinko. Oh, knocked out of bounds. Great hustle by Dominic Hill. .22 points. And the Wolverines want a timeout. Coach Lavelle is asking for a timeout, and they haven't seen him yet. Or unless he's calling a play. It looked like he's calling a timeout. Maybe he waves it off. It'll be inbounded to Robinson from Moreau's. Robinson in the left backcourt for the Black Shirts, guarded by Combs. Robinson drives. He goes in strong. Dishes it to Cook. Cook all the way out to Krinkle for a long three. Tommy Krinkle off. Rebounded by Combs. A good attempt there by the Black Shirts. They got the shot they wanted. Bounce pass into Hill. Hill's going to drive. Spins around. Beautiful. Blocked by Krinkle. And Daniel Robinson gets the rebound. Here comes Daniel Robinson in the Black Shirts. Brighton stop from the corner. Stop in and out. Rebounded by Dominic Hill. 3:57 is your time remaining. Here comes Hill, top of the key. What a great block by Tommy Krinkle on that last attempt. Thompson has it now. This is to Combs all underneath the basket, and he makes it. How did Combs get so wide open? Timeout has been called. Timeout is by West. So we'll take a break with the Black Shirts leading 49-45 with 3:44 remaining here on the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network. So 27 seconds left here in the timeout. And I am surprised that not everybody is standing here, but I think they've got the same. If they're as nervous as I am, I can get it. The student body certainly is standing for both teams. The Wolverines have kind of a jersey theme today, a sports jersey. Blackshirt Nation has kind of a Santa theme going. I see a lot of Santa hats. I think I even see a Santa with a beard in there. So both teams come out on the floor. Ball will be, let's see who's inbounding this. It's going to be Moreau's on the inbound. Moreau's into the corner to Karinko. Karinko to Cook. And the left backcourt. Here comes Cook. Cook taking his time with the clock winding down. 53 seconds. They might even play for the last shot here. Robinson in the corner. Robinson kicks it out to Cook. Yep. Blackshirt's playing for the last shot. Here comes Cook on the drive. Cook with the layup. Yes. Tyron Cook gives the Blackshirt the lead. 53-51. 37 seconds left. Full court press. And the Wolverines want a timeout. Wow, what a drive by Tyron Cook. 35.6 seconds left. Cook drives it down the lane and launches a long layup from almost near the free throw line, one-handed. And it goes through.
Wrong guys.
That's 22 points for Tyron Cook. And as I've said, when Cook has over 20 points, the Blackshirts are undefeated this season. Let's see if that trend continues here in this final 35.6 seconds left. Let's see what Coach Lavelle has cooked up for his Wolverines. Now there's 16 fouls for the Blackshirts, so another foul will create a one-on-one situation for the Wolverines here. And Wolverines, they have 8 fouls, so it's still 1-1 for the next for at least one more foul. So, wow, what a game so far! You know, of course, we'd like to see the Blackshirts get their third conference win, but no matter what, it's really been a great game played by both teams in this classic crosstown rivalry, living up to all its billing here. And Thompson will inbound it of the full court Blackshirt press in. And he's having trouble finding open. No, he does get it to Lavelle. Lavelle back to Thompson. Heavy pressure from Cook. Oh, and Tommy Kringle gets a foul there on Foster on a long pass. So it is a 1-1 now. Foster will shoot it. 2 fouls on Kringle. I have no idea what Foster's record is from the line. He only has 2 points tonight. Foster is a senior, so it's not his first rodeo. The first shot, 30 seconds left, first shot by Foster, and it's off. It's rebounded by Cook. Here comes Cook. They're trying to foul him. Dominic Hill can't foul him. Cook comes all the way. Does he also make the layup? The Blackshirts are now up by 4 with 20 seconds left. Here comes Jake Thompson. Thompson driving against Karinko, and his pass is deflected. Moreau has the one. Moreau is fouled big time by Jake Thompson. That was a football tackle. Thompson very upset. Daniel Robinson helps Thompson up. Very sporting move. Thompson very upset with himself. He was going all the way. It was well covered by Krinkle. Looks to kick it out and somehow lost the handle. Great defense by Moreau's. That's 3 on Thompson. He started the game with 2 fouls and hadn't fouled since. So, but he's lucky. You know, looked like a frustration foul. Like he just toppled over Moreau's. So Charlie Moreau's will shoot. The 1-1 here, 19 fouls, 12.5 seconds left. Boy, it sure would be something if he could make both of these and put this game on ice for the Blackshirts. Plenty of time left here. First shot by Moreau's, and it's in, Charlie Moreau's. His first point of the game for the scrappy junior guard. The all-state goalkeeper for the Blackshirts soccer program. Second free throw by Moreau's. In and out. Thompson has it. Here he comes. 10 seconds and counting. Thompson to Combs for the long three. It's out of bounds. Top of the rim. Rebounded by Cook. There's a scrum. They're calling it a jump ball. Wow. Great play by Lavelle, though, getting his hands on the ball there. Boy, Cook, like, he jumped over a building to get that rebound. Blackshirts get the possession arrow, though. Up by five. 2.8 seconds left. South will call a timeout here. You know, really not much time for the Wolverines to do anything, but Coach Richter doesn't want any fights or any, like, mental mistakes. And, of course, the West student body reminding us that they crushed us in football. No surprise there. But Black Shirt student body, you know, they've heard it before. And they're pointing to the scoreboard. So we'll allow the Wolverines to live in the past while we live in this moment. A well-earned Black Shirt victory, provided there's no mishaps here in the final 2.8 seconds. Honestly, Connor, if I were Coach Richter, and I'm not, but I would throw a long pass all the way down, and even if it gets intercepted and they launch, you know, there's no way the Wolverines can win the game here. So I would have, I would even put Taddy Oka in for this, the all-classic eight quarterback for the Black Shirts, but it's going to be Check. So I think Robinson's going to run a fly pattern here. Yeah, no, Check. Check gets it. And it's complete to Check. Check's going to go all the way. Misses the layup. Oh, Cook can't get a slam. But the Black Shirts win 56-51. They are now 3-2 in the Classic 8, 3-4 overall. Wow, what a game. What a great way to go into the holidays and this long break for the Black Shirts. I want to thank all of you on behalf of Connor Boston, who handled photography and original video in the second half, for joining us. Thank you, Calvin, for all your great work there in the studio and the offices of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Thank all of you for joining us tonight for this Black Shirt victory, ending in a 56-51 account. We'll give you some quick stats here. Probably the most important one is that Tyron Cook had 22 points. Thus, every time he gets more than 20, the Black Shirts win. So Daniel Robinson had 12 points. Trey Duncan at 6. Ethan Check at 6. Brighton Staub at 5. Charlie Morales had 1, a very important one. And Tommy Carinko had 5. And a lot of great assists tonight. Daniel Robinson had at least 2. Trey Duncan had 1. Brighton Staub had 1. Charlie Morales had 1. And Tommy Carinko 1. Daniel Robinson had 2. Tyron Cook also had at least 9 rebounds. So it was just a great, solid effort by our All-State senior guard, both All-State senior guards, and a great team effort by the Black Shirts overall. So anything to say on your end, Connor? You had some pretty unique vantage points that I didn't have here from the corner.
Yeah, it was amazing. This game was great. I think they did a really good job just by matching Tyron at least stepping up, which is important so they could match Dom. Sorry about the mic.
That's here. Okay.
It's coming in and out. I don't know what's going on.
26 points for Dom Hill.
Yeah. He had a fantastic game.
Had an amazing game. A great game. 10 points for Jake Thompson. 8 points for Carter Lavelle. 2 points for the sophomore, Aiden Owusu-Asidu. Looking forward to seeing more of him in his high school career.
Yeah. It was tit for tat. This
very
game.
Impressive sophomore. Yeah. Just some great defensive plays.
Yeah.
Tommy Crankle had a couple key blocks that it'd be remiss if I didn't mention. Very clutch situation. So that was also key. So it really was a great team effort. Ethan Check and Trey Duncan playing some strappy defense. Charlie Moreau is playing a solid game. His third game in a starting role and getting a lot of time. You know, only 1 point, but again, it was a very important point, a free throw that kind of put the game out of reach enough for the Wolverines in their attempt to overtake the Blackshirts here in the late going. So, you know, that's all we got for now. And again, on behalf of myself and Connor and Calvin in the studio, want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, happy holiday season, and a safe and enjoyable one. And be sure to check with check in with us in the new year. I'll be back on This Week in Waukesha. I have a recorded show on Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve, I'll be live with my good friend Calvin there. So we'll see you then live, and then we'll see you here on the court back in early January. So have a great night, and please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. See ya! Thank you, Calvin.
Yes, thank you, guys. Great broadcast.
When are you in the studio again?
I'll be here on Thursday.
All right, we'll see you Thursday.
Yep.
All right, have a great night, man.
Yep, you too.
You're listening to the best of the Rick Smith Show. We will be returning on January 3rd.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as we spend time in Reading, Pennsylvania on our Working Class Heroes Tour, Reading was, just a couple of years ago, the poorest community in the country. They were ranked the poorest area in the country. And, you know, food insecurity, really an enormous number. And it's one of these things you go, as the wealthiest nation in the world at its wealthiest moment in history, this not acceptable. And it's not acceptable on a whole bunch of reasons, because we keep hearing about how we're a Christian nation and all this stuff. Not so much. But I'm thrilled to see President Biden finally somebody going, hey, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to call to our better nature. We're going to bring people together. We're going to unite the country. We're going to tackle a problem that should have been taken care of years ago. And that's ending childhood hunger. And I know it's food insecurity. No, hunger. Hunger. We got hungry kids. That's a crime. And here to share some thoughts on how we get to that place, I've asked Arohi Pathak to come talk with us. She's the director of policy at the Center for American Progress's Poverty to Prosperity program. Arohi, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for inviting me on, Rick.
So, you know, I look at this, and, you know, as we're in Reading, you know, talking about, you know, the plight of the city and the problems that they've had, hunger being front and center. And in like I said, in the wealthiest country in the history of civilization, at its wealthiest moment, to have children going to bed hungry is, in my view, criminal.
That's exactly right. You've hit the nail on the head. For the richest country in the world, we have 10% of the population that routinely struggles with food security and hunger. That's about 25 million households. That's a lot of people who do not have enough food on a week-to-week basis to make sure that their health and nutrition and well-being is taken care of.
So let's go through some of those words, because people use food insecure as where I'm going. People are hungry. When I was a kid, living in the projects on the west side of Cleveland, at the end of the month, there was nothing in the house. I wasn't food insecure. We were hungry. There was nothing to eat. So what's the difference between food insecure and my view of people are hungry?
You know, it's mostly just semantics. I think you're absolutely right. If someone is hungry, if someone is missing a meal or missing several meals or are not able to eat during the week several times, that is food insecurity. Some people have severe food insecurity where they really only are able to get food through either federal benefits or by going to the food pantry or by, you know, going to their local church if they're offering any free food. And for a lot of people, it really is the difference between where is one. One misses a single meal, you're hungry. And that impacts how you are able to, you know, live through your day, work, go to school. If you're a parent and your children are going hungry, you're carrying all that stress with you, trying to figure out where that next meal is coming from. And that's a lot to put on people.
You know, I've had this conversation with my wife a number of times because, you know, I've been accused of being a workaholic. And, you know, I work 70, 80, 90 hours a week most weeks. And it comes back to this one thing that I finally narrowed it down to in my quest. And I think back to my mother and her looking at me, knowing that there was nothing she could do to put food on the table, because they're just what we were living in poverty at the time. And I never wanted to feel, and I never want anyone to feel, that helplessness of looking into a child's eyes and knowing there's nothing I can do to help you. That to me is that's got to be the worst feeling possible.
It has got to be the worst feeling possible. I am a parent. I can't imagine that. It's actually my kid's birthday today, and I just can't imagine a single day where he goes hungry, or a single meal where he goes hungry. And for too many Americans, for 25 million households in this country, that is a reality. That is a day-to-day reality. And it's not because they don't love their kids. It's not because they aren't working 3 and 4 jobs. It's just that we have an economic system and a labor market that pays people very little money, especially those that are lowest income, especially those that are working in some of the lowest income jobs. They just aren't able to cobble together the money that they need to be able to put, you know, something simple on the table every night, let alone something nutritious. Sorry about
interrupting. No. And happy birthday to your child. Happy birthday. I'm glad you've taken a moment for us to share some thoughts on this, because this is an important topic. But thanks for taking a little time away from that. But you brought up a second ago that, you know, if churches are giving away food, and this, because there's a view in this country that, well, the government shouldn't get involved in this. This should be communities. This should be the churches doing this. And while I, on a mental level, if I'm doing this as an exercise level, maybe that's what I want. But on a realistic level, that doesn't happen. But I'm curious your thoughts. Is this something that the churches should be doing and the community should be doing? And are they doing it?
It's a very interesting question. The short answer is no. Every human being in our borders deserves to live their life with dignity, deserves to live their life safely, and deserves to have their basic needs met. And those basic needs are as simple as ensuring that they have a roof over their head, that they have food to eat, and that they have clean water to drink every night. And that's not hard to do in the richest country in the world. We actually know how to address hunger in this country. What we don't do is we don't use the tools that we have in a strategic way, in a long-term way, to be able to actually make any substantive difference to hunger in this country. And we can go into that in a minute, but it is not the job of food pantries. It should not be the job of churches to feed the poor in this country. It is the job of the government to make sure that every single citizen has the basic necessities that they need in order to survive. And, you know, when your citizens are able to survive and are doing well, that actually impacts the economy. It grows the economy. It makes, you know, people happier. It gets people to work and you know, people are buying things in their community. All of this grows the economy, makes us stronger as a country, and makes us more competitive. Yeah. And so the bottom line is, why aren't we doing this?
And why haven't we been? But there's been this deference towards, no, let the churches do it. And I'm going, yeah, okay, let the churches do it. They haven't. And this is longstanding. I remember it as a kid. It's time that we use our government the way we should be using it, collectively, to solve the problems that individually we cannot solve. And this is one of those things that, you know, I go back to myself being a kid in the 70s, something we should have been doing as a matter of course. And in fact, you know, President Biden this week, put on the food summit that they just had, the first time something like that's happened in 50 years. And the last time it happened, during the Nixon years, led to programs that I, as a young kid, benefited from, you know, growing up in the projects. There was a program where, you know, people would go to the local public school in the summer and line up and they would get a hot meal. It wasn't much. It was something. And for most of those kids, it was the only hot meal that they would get. And yet policy-wise, one of the first things Ronald Reagan did when he came into office was rip that away and basically take food out of the mouths of children so we can give tax breaks to rich people, making hunger worse. So I'm in this weird spot, Arohi. I'm in this anger spot where this should have been dealt with when I was a kid. And here we are 50 plus years later, still talking about it. Finally, a guy's got a plan to move forward.
Yeah. So you said something that was very important. Reagan came in and made this decision to cut those programs. Policy choices are what dictates poverty in this country. Policy choices are what dictates how many people go to bed hungry every night. So I want to be very clear. When we talk about hunger in this country, when we talk about poverty, those are policy choices that our politicians have made. They have made the choice not to invest in kids and low-income families, not to invest in providing basic necessities for people who are really struggling at the fringes. And we're talking about people who are struggling. We're not talking about middle-class people who can afford to, you know, pay their bills, save for the future, and be able to put food on the table and keep their lights on, etc. We're talking about the people that are literally living on the edges of financial precarity, and those are the people that we need to help. So it's great that Biden's administration is making such a concerted effort to think about how we reform our food, hunger, and nutrition and health systems in this country. And a lot of work went into this from a lot of champions, including Representative McGovern from Massachusetts, Cory Booker from New Jersey, etc. And so this is a long time coming, but it's a really important discussion to be having. Yep. And hopefully it'll yield in some really substantive policy changes in the future.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Arohi Pathak. She is the director of policy at the Center for American Progress's Poverty to Prosperity program. You can check out their website, americanprogress.org. We'll get links out on social media, how you can take a look at that. So let's talk about the ideas forward, because big picture-wise, I don't know anyone who goes, yeah, I'm okay with kids going to bed hungry. I think everyone wants to end this, and I love the fact that President Biden's saying within the next 8 years, we're going to actually accomplish this, make this a national kind of call to unity. I think we need to be doing more of this. Maybe next we take on homelessness. That'd be a great topic as well. But how do we get to this place? It's great to set this goal. What's the mechanism? I know how we help feed people. We give them food. We give them money to buy food. When I was a kid, we had this clown money that you had to go to the store with and be humiliated using. I want nobody to have to go through that kind of humiliation ever again. So how do we get to that place, and what policies has the president and the administration proposed to help us get to that spot?
Good question. So the president's agenda is very ambitious, but ambitious is good, right? I'm not sure that we will accomplish every single thing on that agenda, but there's a lot of really good ideas. Just to give a little bit of context, the way the framework is organized, it's around kind of five pillars. One deals with food access and availability. Another deals with nutrition and health. There's one on access to healthy food choices, physical activity, and then the final one is nutrition and food security research. For CAP, we firmly believe addressing food access and availability needs to be the focus of our work. It's making sure that no one goes to bed hungry. And so within that pillar, there's some really great ideas on how we address this. And like I said before, we actually know how to address hunger in this country. We have so many government programs that actually address food insecurity and hunger. And we have so many programs that improve family economic security. And so the combination of those two things is what it's going to take to really make a difference. So the Biden administration, one of the things they really stressed, and I really appreciate, is they acknowledged that hunger is related to poverty. And the way we get people out of poverty is by investing in family economic security policies, like making sure that there's a higher minimum wage, that people have paid leave at their jobs, that they have access to health care, that they have access to the child tax credit, which proved to be an incredibly successful program at reducing child poverty just over 6 months through the COVID expansions. So there's a lot of these programs that will give people the economic precarity that they need, the economic stability that they need in order to be able to pay their bills, to be able to pay their rent, their mortgage, their utilities, childcare, transportation costs, food on the table, et cetera. It makes them economically self-sufficient. And then overlaying that, there's some really good policies around strengthening and expanding our existing food safety nets like SNAP and WIC. And I can go into those in more detail if you'd like.
No, we need to have those policies in place and maybe addressing the fact that we have a lot of food deserts, especially in our high poverty communities. This is where public investment, I think, is so important. For me, as a labor guy, it comes down to jobs, it comes down to employment, it comes down to wages. And I've often said that a lot of our poverty problems have to do with the fact that there aren't enough quality jobs for people to be able to make a living on. And if the private sector can't, or more likely won't, create enough of those jobs, it's where the public sector has to. Because I believe there has to be a tie to work in this, because there's dignity in work, and that ideal of making one's way. I think we have to be doing more on that front. And I'm a little disappointed that there isn't some of that creation of jobs for folks to be able to make a living on.
So one of the interesting things about this framework is the Biden administration really wants this to be a public-private partnership. And this is where the private sector comes in. Part of what the private sector needs to do is to create those quality jobs, is to be making sure that they are paying their employees fair wages, to be making sure that they have access to childcare, to healthcare, so that they aren't spending, enormous amounts of their paycheck on routine healthcare visits, making sure that they have paid leave so their kids are sick, they have the ability to take time off work and not get fired for it. So there is a really big role that the private sector and employers can play in this. And the more incentives that we can afford the private sector to actually create those good jobs, I think it's probably a good thing for the country. But, at some point, the corporations have to take the responsibility in themselves and say, we need to do the right thing, and we're here to do the right thing.
Yeah, I don't believe they ever do the right thing on their own. I think they have to be incentivized, or it's the carrot or the stick. You do it because we're going to give you something, or you do it because we're going to punish you. But either way, it has to be done. So last line of questioning I've got for you, because it sounds like these sound like great ideas. It sounds like a push forward. Clearly, we live in a very polarized world, red state, blue state, kind of red hat, blue hat. How do you see this playing out in places, that are, let's say opposed to the president and his policies, especially those places that have really high poverty and high insecurity rates? And I'm not pointing to any southern region across the U.S. in particular, but how do you think this is going to play there?
So one thing I really want to emphasize is dealing with hunger and addressing food insecurity is not a partisan issue. It actually enjoys a lot of bipartisan support and has for decades. This is not a red state, blue state issue. It should never be. People are going to bed hungry.
It shouldn't be, most issues shouldn't be partisan. Getting people access to health care, getting people access to quality education, clean drinking water, these roads that don't have massive potholes, these are not partisan red state, blue state, red hat, blue hat issues. But sadly, in this environment, this is where we are.
That's exactly true. So let's take Florida, for example. Florida has been decimated by Hurricane Ian in just the last couple of days, creating a ton of damage. People are losing their homes. It's going to be a while before they're able to recover. Here's where the federal government could come in, right? This is where the federal government comes in and throws in a lot of investment to help people recover and rebuild. For people that lost their homes, that lost their livelihoods, that are going hungry every single day, programs like SNAP and WIC that have the ability to immediately be expanded to people who have a need all of a sudden, an emergency food need all of a sudden. they will be getting food and nutrition supports through these programs. And it's one less thing that they have to worry about, being hungry while they're trying to figure out where they're sleeping tonight or where, you know, they're going to get a fresh change of clothes from tomorrow. So why are these issues red state and blue state? It makes no sense. It is purely political theater. And I think, as we'll see with, you know, with the devastation that Hurricane Ian has caused down in the South, the federal government is going to have to step in and help with the rebuilding there. And so why aren't we making those investments proactive? Why aren't we making those investments in the first place, so we aren't in systems or we aren't in situations where we need emergency relief? Why aren't we focusing on resilience and long-term supports rather than on patchwork of solutions when something goes wrong?
I'm right there with you. Arohi, I appreciate you taking time for us. I hope you'll come back and talk with us again as this continues down the road and we take on hunger, and then eventually we take on homelessness and we begin to solve the problems of our country. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. Have a nice day.
And again, happy birthday to your child.
Thank you.
I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. You got any questions, comments, something on your mind, want to hear it? Gonna take a quick break. Right back here from the Working Class Heroes Tour as we spend a little time here in Reading. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to the best of the Rick Smith Show. We will be returning on January 3rd. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1789. That was the day that the United States Congress officially created the United States Army. Not everyone agreed that the U.S. should have a standing army. 2 years earlier, at the meeting that drafted the U.S. Constitution, James Madison warned against a permanent federal army. He told those at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, quote, "A standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty." Since Madison was a strong proponent of a centralized federal government, his caution about the army was noteworthy. Perhaps these warnings is why it took Congress until the last day of their session to finally approve the measure. In fact, President George Washington had to write Congress not once, but twice to get them to act on the issue. Once it was approved, the first standing army had about 800 members. By comparison, in 2015, the army had just under 500,000 active duty soldiers. To supplement the small army, Congress also made a provision for the president to call up troops from state militias. The stated purpose for such call-ups was, quote, "protecting the inhabitants of the frontiers of the United States from hostile incursions of the Indians." While in federal service, the state militias were supposed to receive, quote, "the same as the pay and substance as the regular army." One time, various state militias were used for the forced removal of the Cherokee people from the southeast on the Trail of Tears in the 1830s. State militias were also deployed to break up labor strikes, such as the case in the Homestead Strike in Pennsylvania in 1892. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com. This is the best of the Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So, you know, I couldn't help but remember something as we were talking with Arohi Pathak of the from the Center for American Progress. Look, these programs, this is something, you know, long, long, long overdue. The fact that, you know, the last time we had a food summit like the one Biden had recently, 50 plus years ago, under Richard Nixon. I mean, the fact that it's gone that long, and all of our safety net programs of a generation, really, have been just hatchet jobbed. You think Reagan forward, it's all been about destroying social programs. It's been about, you know, destroying the social safety net. It's been about...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.